Thank you, Jesus. Quiet for just a second. There's someone in here that is dealing with some tightness in their chest right now. If that's you, just raise your hand up. If that's you, it's real fast. Okay. All right. Someone just go to her right now. Just lay hands on her and let's believe God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke any kind of body aches, anything that will cause the body not to operate the way you created it. And by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, the beating that he took before he was crucified, that woman is healed in Jesus' name. Is there anybody else? Was there anybody else that... Jeanette? Okay. Someone just reach up and just lay your hands on her right now. Just go over. Father, in Jesus' name, I command loosening in that area in Jesus' name. I command that body to be healed right now. And we won't accept anything other than fullness in Jesus' name. Say amen to that. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. Woo, God is good. Amen. All right, real fast. By the way, if you're new here, it's an honor to have you. I always figured, being just a raised a ranching cowboy, most everybody knows when I was born, my dad worked for John Wayne, the Duke, Casa Grande, Arizona. And John Wayne would come from Hollywood. He was not a cowboy. The movies made him and turned him into a heck of a cowboy. Learned how to ride a horse and shoot a gun and, you know, things that, and work cattle and things like that. And so he owned a feedlot, and then he owned the 26 Bar Ranch just outside of Casa Grande, Arizona. And it's a neat thing, because that's just how we were raised, just raised kind of in the cowboy world. But one thing that Mom and Dad taught us three boys is not to sugarcoat anything. And so the Bible says that if you're saved and you're born again, then you're a son or a daughter of God. And we are to then be led by His Spirit. Okay. And so that's what I told the Lord years ago when we started in ministry. It's going on 30 years that I would always obey Him. And so every now and then, well, actually most of the time, if God tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And I know we can have programs and order and those kind of things like in a church, but, praise God, we need to obey His voice. So I'd encourage you to do the same thing. Amen. Just obey Him. If He tells you to bless someone, that's what you need to do. Amen. Now, I do want to welcome anybody that's been here or that's never been here. You're here for the very first time. Hopefully they caught you outside, gave you a visitor packet. If not, then I want to get you one right now. But if you're here for the very first time, would you allow our church just to welcome you? All I need you to do, and be bold, you don't have to stand up and dance, but I need you, if you've never been to Cowboy Church before and you're visiting, would you just raise your hand up and let us welcome you? Would you do that? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Honored to have you guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate y'all coming. Honored to have you. I thought Levi was going to raise his hand for a second. He's a firefighter, so he's not here a lot. So, inside that visitor packet is a card and a pen, if you wouldn't mind, just to fill that out just for a second. It would be a blessing to us. Amen. Why don't you do something for me and clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. Now, the Lord, for all the new people, the Lord shared with me when we started this church, going on 18 years now, that He wanted me to teach on finances, because one of the things, the first thing that was told to me is that this was a very poor, or four letters in poor. I was raised with two letters, just Po. Because mom and dad, they worked their tails off just trying to provide for three boys, trying to go to college, and, you know, as much as we ate, primarily my middle brother Tim would eat the most, but the Lord told me when it was confessed to me that this part of the, you know, Liberty Hill area was very poor, to start teaching and break that curse. How many of you know that poverty is the curse? God does not want you to live in the curse. Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law. And so I had a family member years ago say, "Oh, come on, we don't need any money." A guy got across the United States on $3. I'll never forget him saying that. And I said, "Yeah, but he had to beg for the rest of it just to be able to eat and get across the country." Well, see, God doesn't want you to do that. All through the Word of God, since I started studying this in college, I found out that 2,036 times the Bible talks about finances in this Bible. If He talks about it that much, then it's a principle that He created. And obviously you start finding it in Genesis all the way through Revelations. And you find out in Genesis 8 and 22, or 22 and 8, actually it says, while the earth remains, there's always going to be seed, time, harvest. And so as I was looking in the Word and just studying and asking the Lord what to minister on this morning just real fast, He took me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and He said, look at verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. In the King James it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Let me help us understand that in the Amplified Version. Gets all the "these, thous, and thuses" out of, like, the King James. It says, "For if the readiness to give is there, then it's acceptable and welcomed in proportion to what a person has, not according to what he does not have." A lot of people use the excuse that they don't tithe because they don't have enough money to tithe. They don't make enough. And I'm trying to tell you through the Word of God, and the Apostle Paul is teaching us right here, that really, if you don't tithe, it's the reason that you have not. It's not the abundance that you have. It's having the heart to just want to get into the principle that God created through seed, time, and harvest. You see. He wants us just to have a willing heart to help people. He doesn't want to have to. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says you don't have to wait till the sky is ready to receive the rain. Just receive it. Just start believing God for it. So this morning when we give to the Lord, and by the way, obviously most everybody knows that about 2 months ago, the Lord put on my heart something that He's never had me do. And all it is was, we're believing God to build an indoor arena. We need to cover it. I think it's a heck of a ministry when you have a covered arena, because boy, they want to come and rent it and ride in it. Well, everything we do here is a ministry. And so, God, as I was praying, He said, "I want you to believe for 30 people in this church to give 10 grand, 10,000. And I was like, "Wow, okay." Let me tell you what's happened. Not only have several given 10,000 to go towards the seed of that covered arena, because it's going to cost a lot. Metal is very expensive, etc. But some have given well more than that. Some have only given 100. It doesn't matter. Because that's what this scripture is actually saying. Matter of fact, someone gave $10,000 this morning. So the point is we don't have to do gimmicks. We don't have to manipulate to try to get finances into this church, because everything we do here is debt free. I don't take a salary at this church so that I can actually teach this stuff without the fear of you not knowing where my heart is. And so, but we're going to believe for that covered arena. So if God puts it on your heart, then I want you to sow into that in Jesus' name. But see, it doesn't matter if you don't have that kind of income. If you just start with the first part of seed, I'm telling you, God will multiply it. And you'll owe no man but to love them. Amen? And so, that's how we need to give. Here's three buckets. I've never seen this one before. But anyway, there's three buckets. I want y'all to come and just give to the Lord with a big old shout of praise. Amen? Come on. Ooh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. You're so good. Heidi, where are you? You come get this. Love all the kids. You know, oh, you doing a special? Right there, dog. That's what I like to hear. All right. Y'all welcome Joe. He's going to sing for us. Yes, ma'am. Praise God.
If the ship of your life is tossing on the sea of strife, you need someone. And if you feel so all alone and your house is not a home, you need someone. If it seems life isn't fair and there's no one left to share all those lonely days and nights when things don't turn out right and you want someone to care, someone to just be there, you need someone. I give you Jesus. He's the peace that passes all understanding. I give you Jesus. Listen now. He's a perfect love that casteth out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink and never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus. If the pressure's all around, keep your spirit to the ground. You need someone. Come on. And if your body is in pain and your health you can't regain, you need someone. If it seems that you have tried with everything you had inside and it seems that you have failed, remember on the cross he nailed all the bitterness and grief to give you peace and sweet relief. He is that someone that you need. So I give you Jesus. He's a peace that passes all understanding. I give you Jesus. He's a perfect love that casteth out all fear. I give you Jesus. He's the water that you drink, and you'll never, oh, you'll never thirst again. I give you Jesus, my friend. I give you Jesus.
Like the pastor said, these altars are open. If you have a need, that man will meet them right here.
I give you Jesus.
Good song. Yeah. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, my friend. Glory be to God. He's a good God, isn't he? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, real fast, before the kids are dismissed in the youth group, any teachers in here, would you just stand up if you're a teacher, an educator? Oh, good. Praise God. Look at you. All right. I need all of y'all to come right up here just for a second. I'm going to do... I got to figure out now. I didn't realize there was that many teachers in here. Son of a gun. Okay. All right. Okay. Here's how I'm going to do this. We're going to pray for them, but we're also going to pray for the kids going back to school. And, okay, Jamie, come here just for a second. I want to tell you something. Let me turn my microphone off. I was hoping you didn't hear that. Okay. Think of a number between 1 and 500. Okay. What is it?
259.
259. Remember that. 322. Okay.
7.
7.
3.
6.
6.
20.
400.
You?
323.
What did you say? You said 322. You said tweet. This is like Price is Right. 250.
250?
10. 10. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. You were 400. So the rest of y'all step back unless I tell you to go forward. Come forward, ma'am. And you said
259.
And you were 3. Yeah. Yeah, you're out. 7's out. Okay. And you were
20.
Yeah, you're out. Okay. But you were
323.
Okay. Okay. What's okay. So say which one's closer?
Which one's closer?
With the number that I told you.
323.
323's closer. Okay, you got to step back, ma'am. Sorry. You're out.
This happens to me all the time.
All right. So you won. I want to bless you with $100.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
Now, it was 346 was the number that I thought of, okay? I just wanted to bless you because, I mean, do y'all want me to give y'all all 100? Well, I can't, so sorry. But what I can do is I can lay all children that are going to school, all, I don't care if you're going to college, I don't care how old you are, stand up and let's all believe God and pray over these people. All the kids, just stand up, no matter your age. If you're in any type of school, I want you to stand up. We're going to pray over you right now. Now, all of y'all that are seated, if you see someone beside you, just stretch your hands towards all these teachers, administrators, principals, it doesn't matter what it is, and then students. And let's all believe God that this year is going to be the greatest year of your life. Father, regardless of where they teach, if it's Liberty Hill or Burnet or Austin or anywhere in this area, Father, I thank you. Or there may be some even watching right now that's in education in some way. I realize we even have a professor here that teaches in college. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that we are in agreement that the blood of Jesus not only protects them, but Father, goes before them to cause them to have success and favor in everything that they do. Every student is going to have minds to learn, a willingness to not hate school but to love it in Jesus' name. Now the kids are like, that's going to be by faith. But Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we bless them, we pray over them, we thank you for them, because they are the ones that are teaching our kids. And the way you created it, sir, you want them to teach them kind of like parents do and train them up in the ways of the Lord. So when they can pray over those students, when the students can even come together and gather hands and pray together, I thank you, Lord, for their boldness and the favor in our communities to do that without fear in Jesus' mighty name. Now give God praise. Amen. Y'all be a blessing. Thank y'all very much. All right. Now, let's dismiss y'all. The youth group, you're going to have a blast. The kids' church, 11 and under, you're going to have a blast. So with a big shout of praise, y'all are dismissed out the back end. Amen? We have an incredible youth group now. Oh, it's growing. We live so far, or we're so far out a lot of times. You know, it's hard to grow some of these groups, but man, we got some great youth pastors, so glory be to God. All right. Let's jump into something because we got a lot. We've got baby dedications. People that believe God to join our church are going to join this morning. And then we're going to baptize a wonderful family that we love here. And then if you have never been baptized and you just want to be baptized, then praise God. I baptized my son several times in the pool yesterday. So. Do it again, you know. Dad, I can't breathe. It's okay. God. Love baptism. In your Bible, I want you to turn to Psalms 91 and let me pray over the Word. Father, thank you. As these people turn in their Word in the Bible, the truth that makes and sets people free, I thank you, Father, that we'll receive this Word just the way you intended it. As truth to set us truly free. I thank you, Father, for the engrafted word that the Bible says will change us. Will save in Ephesians says that it'll save our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. In other words, it'll get us to start thinking like you think. And Father, I thank you for that. I give you praise for the Word of God this morning in Jesus' name. All right, say amen.
Amen.
Now, last week I had started it, and by the way, appreciate all the people that are watching. People watch from all over these broadcasts, and it's an honor. It's kind of slowed down since the pandemic. You know, everybody was watching. But thank God they started coming and being a part of the service. And so we appreciate you watching. We appreciate y'all being here in the audience. Last week we started, and obviously, as we're going to lift up a few people. Matter of fact, let's just do it right now. If you know of someone in the hospital that's trying to fight this new COVID attack, then I want you, if you don't mind, and then we're going to lift up some that are watching, some that are in the hospital. We had great reports from our family member that was fighting it, that she came out of it. And, you know, again, this is a time that the enemy is going to try to bring fear and try to bring plagues and try to bring things in our lives to separate us, to shut our mouths, to try to stop, you know, the church. And that's his design. You have to understand that. This is not just, you know, something that happened called COVID, a virus. It is a direct attack from the enemy. And you have to understand that. This is end times stuff. Because Jesus is about to return. As a pastor, and I know I've been gone for a few months, and it almost threw out there in the field in the rodeos, but I know that, you know, just being gone, you've got to understand that as the pastor of this church, my job is to train you up to do the work of the ministry. That's your job. You're not just supposed to put on a helmet of salvation and just be saved so that you can miss hell. I mean, that's a good thing because it's going to be hot there. But you got to put on the full armor of God so that you, in these last days, you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, is what the Bible says. Because the devil is no respecter of persons. My little buddy that's watching, Brandon, that's with the horses, just a wonderful, wonderful boy. Well, he's a man. But he just, he's a blessing to me. But he said, hey, as we were driving to Yuma, Colorado, he said, you know, what do you think about when the devil is attacking someone, don't you think he's attacking because the blessing is, you know, just right there for us to receive it? And most people would say yes, but I said no. Because that's not how the devil works. Because if he worked that way and you believe that that was God's intention for the enemy to attack you so that you can get over into the promised land and get the blessing, then you're going to have to believe that you need to be attacked a lot because you want the blessing. Now, all good things come from above and all bad things come from the devil. Okay. If you ever learn that God is good, the devil's bad. If you learn that, then you'll learn the Word of God. You'll understand it. So, it's not God's intention or purpose to cause someone to be attacked by the devil and God allow that just so that they can get the blessing on the other side. Because, I'll say it again, if you think that way, then you're going to have to pray almost for the devil to attack you so that you can get to the blessing. The devil, listen to me, the devil is no respecter of persons. He's going to attack people not serving him, as well as he's going to attack people that serve the Lord Jesus. That's his nature, to attack. So he brought a virus so that he can try to stop the church, and lo and behold, he tried to. He didn't hear. Because we never stopped. We were one of the only churches. Matter of fact, that's why we've grown so big, is because people were coming, because their church in Austin and other areas, some of them are still not meeting. Well, to me, that's a very dangerous thing. Because when we get together in agreement, that's the power of a marriage. A marriage is not supposed to be like this. Because you can get something in it, man, but when it's got that covenant, man, you can't break it apart unless you allow something to get in the middle of it. And so the enemy has tried to stop us. And again, yeah, at the very start, we didn't We didn't know what the heck was going on. The media had us all scared, and it was a dangerous thing. Don't get me wrong. We don't deny what's going on and that it's killing a lot of people and making them sick. But what we do deny is that it tries to bring fear into us to cause us to stop doing what we're doing. And our church had drive-in. We were one of the only ones that had a drive-in service. And thank God for Judge Stout, because I would say, hey, talk to the judge of Williamson County and let them know what we're going to do. And they said fine with them. And we had so many vehicles here. And then we went to the arena, and we were able to, people brought their lawn chairs. It was so cool. Until about June when it started getting hot, then we came in here. But listen to me. We've never had mask mandates, and we've never had an outbreak of a virus. Why? Because we started teaching and preaching against the spirit of fear. God didn't give you a spirit of fear, remember? He gave you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So what I wanted to do when I came home last week and finish it up this morning is try to help you and remind you of who you are in Christ Jesus. That you are protected as long as you abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I read to you all of the King James Version, but the Lord actually said, go and my mom actually ordered it and bought it for me. Go get the Passion Translation of Psalms 91. And last week we started looking at Passion Translation. It's a cool translation. Now, listen to me. I'm a King James guy. I figure if it's lasted the test of times, then it's one that I love, you know. And I was raised on, you know, the thous and these and thuses and things like that. So I understand that, you know, some of these scriptures, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, you know. And I love that, but there's a time sometimes when you can test and judge some other translations, and man, they're good. And one thing that I've been convinced by, and I still judge any other translation, but I've been convinced that I really like this Passion Translation. When you look at it up against the King James in verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Passion says when you abide, that word abide literally is translated when you permanently stay, when you stay overnight, when you abide under the shadow of El Shaddai or Shaddai, which means the God of more than enough. You are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's your hope and that holds me. And the stronghold that shelters me. Now, we talked about the stronghold yesterday. Because most people, you know, when they read about strongholds, think that they're bad. No. There's some good strongholds. Because a stronghold is protection. It's a walled city. It's safety. It's like having a mansion and you got guards around it. There's protection, you see. So, being in the stronghold of God is really, 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 really important. I mean, I want to stress that. It's very important to be in the stronghold of God under His security, His protection. But here's the thing. You've got to stay in it. You can't walk out of it, because you know we do. A lot of times we'll walk out of it and get into sin and do things that our flesh tries to control us in. I mean, and obviously I don't have to go into different examples of that. You know what you're dealing with. The thing that's kind of got you bound in areas, whether it be addictions of some kind or whatever. There's things that the enemy has tried to tempt us in so that we can get out from under the shadow of God Almighty. Because if you get out of it, you're not under that protection, right? So that's why he uses this word abide. You've got to stay in it. And when you stay in it, there's nothing that can harm you. Say amen to that. Amen. Nothing. Listen to me. You've got to get confidence in the Word of God. You got to find out who you are in Christ if you don't know who you are in Christ. Because when you find out who you are, you don't have or walk in fear in any way. Now, listen to this as we try to finish this up real fast. In verse, let me just continue verse 2. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me. The only God for me and my great confidence. Verse 3 in the Passion. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. Have you ever just been walking down the road and just fall into a trap? I mean, in Cody, Wyoming, I'm just driving down the road minding my own business. And I see I'm only going 10 miles an hour because it's right downtown and there was a lot of people walking and I'm watching, making sure, you know, I don't hit any pedestrians. That's a good thing, right? I see a car stopped on my left and I'm thinking, that's strange. There's a little bit up there. So I just continue to ease on, minding, say it with me, my own business. And when I approach this car, who's in the left lane and I'm in the right, I get up here and all of a sudden I then see an older man coming across the crosswalk and I hit the brake, burp, and he gets in front of my car like this. Well, this was a hidden trap to see what I would do. Y'all want me to tell you what I did? I was kind of just kidding. Let me go to this side. I was really just kind of kidding when he was right in front of me. Like, I took off my seat belt and started to open the door and he started moving. And at that very time is when I got hit in the right arm by my wife. What are you doing? You're a preacher. You know, be quiet, woman. Silent in the church. You know. Be quiet, please. He'll rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. Because that's all it is. Now, I didn't have to fall and mess with him like I was going to get out and whoop an old man. I don't think I can. Leapfrog. In Fort Stockton at the ranch, there was draws down these ranches. And man, it was a good place to set a trap to catch those varmints. And man, you could get like $30 if you caught a coon. You would get over $100+ if you caught a male bobcat. You know, and you always wanted to catch them because that's what, you know, tries to, you know, eat your livestock basically. And so trapping was something that they did way back in. Well, we bought a bunch of traps. And you would find a good place to set this trap where you knew that those varmints would be coming through, whatever it might be, some ringtail, or a fox, a coyote. It didn't matter. We set out traps all through this draw. What you would do is you get this trap, you would tie it to a tree in case you caught something and couldn't get away. And then you would get this little can and have holes in it. You'd get a bunch of dirt and you would just sift and barely cover that trap so that they couldn't see it. And then you would bait that trap, put a little area where they had to go over that trap to get to the bait. How many of you know that's exactly what the devil does? Minding your own business. Because see, I didn't wake up wanting to whoop an old man or get whipped by an old man. You never know, they know what to do now. No, I was minding my own business. And here, the Word of God says that He'll rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy and will protect you from false accusation. Amen. And any deadly curse. Glory be to God. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. Remember, you cannot forget about verse 1. When you abide, when you stay permanently, when you stay overnight under the shadow of the God that's more than enough, you can run under His covering of majesty and hide. His arms are faithfulness. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have a fear of a spirit of darkness coming against you. Glory be to God. Don't fear a thing, the Passion Translation says in verse 6. In the King James it says, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Here the Bible is trying to teach us, don't fear a thing, because fear is the opposite of faith. You don't want to get in fear. But yet, people are getting in fear right now like never before. I've already talked to you and told you what I think about the vaccine. But if God put it on your heart and you've got peace about it, then take the thing. I have four rules here, y'all. And I started it way back when the first pandemic started. If you're sick, stay home. If you're in fear, stay home. If you're an older person and have issues, I'm okay with you staying home. You gotta get out of the fear, though. But here's the fourth thing. I trust people more than I do the government. Okay? Because we know how to take care of ourselves. But if you live under the shadow, ooh, Jesus, you don't have to fear anything, praise God. Listen to me. Verse 6, don't fear a thing, whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil be launched against you. Glory be to God. Okay, that's why stop thinking that if the devil's attacking you, that you must have the blessing on the other side. No, just know that the blessing is there if you'll get into the river of blessings. Don't stay on the bank. Get down into the river of the blessing of God by living for Jesus Christ. Okay? Sin, don't worry about sin. Just stop doing it. Do you realize in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that you're justified by faith? You know what that word justified means? Acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God. Now, if you believe what the devil says about you, then you won't believe that you're justified by faith. You won't know that you're acquitted. That's why Jesus died, y'all. He died so that you can receive from Him that you're acquitted and declared righteous. When you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says that you're made righteous. Yeah, but I don't act righteous. Yeah, but that don't mean anything. We're not moved by what you see, hear, taste, smell, touch. We're not moved by the five physical senses. What are we moved by? We're moved by the Word of God. Yeah, the enemy may try to condemn us and make us guilt-ridden for things that we do wrong, like, you know, messing with an older man. But how many of you know when I said, I apologize, sir, that God not only forgave me, He forgot it as far as the east is to the west. When you understand that we've got to abide under the shadow of Almighty, the God of more than enough, then fear does not need to come in your life in any way. Now, you may see it. You may hear about it. You may hear about people that are in trouble in their health. But listen to me. You've got to get to them and start speaking faith to them. You've got to start rebuking the spirit of fear and start telling them that they have a spirit, if they're born again, of power. Dunamis power, praise God. The same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, you have that on the inside of you. The devil's just talked you out of it. He said you're not worthy of anything. No, no, no. Why don't you tell the devil that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? That not only are you a servant of God, but you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God. Come on, y'all. We ought to get excited about the God that we serve, the God that died for us, the God that's more than enough, the God that said you don't have a spirit of fear, the God of the dunamis power of God that is available to you right now. You just got to get fired up and stop living by religion and not being able to live by the power of God. Well, maybe you might look a little funny or fanatical in Christ Jesus, but I'm here to tell you it's better than dying of a virus. Yeah. Like, come on, let's wake up as the church and start being the church. This building's going to burn up one day, but I'm telling you, you and I are not going to burn up. Well, I should take that back. I don't want this building to burn because listen to me. We're only gone for 7 years in the tribulation, and then we get to come back here for a 1,000-year reign. People are like, I've never heard that before. You ought to read the Bible. It's a good book. Anyway, I don't have time for that. Let me finish trying to get your faith built up to not getting in fear about this virus. Stay in wisdom. Stay in wisdom. If you want to wear a mask, I'm okay with that. I'm not against a mask. I'm just against a government telling us and making us have to wear the thing. It's no fun riding on an airplane having to wear the thing. They constantly telling me, get it above your nose, get it above your nose. You know what I did? I took a picture of the pilots without them. Anyway, I didn't put it on Facebook and all that. Everybody's probably wondering what I was doing before we took off, and he would look back and he had that mask way down under his lip. And then I saw one of the flight attendants that had it below her nose, but two others that were telling me to put it above my nose. And man, I wanted to, it one of those hidden traps. I just was tempted. I was tempted to stand up and say, stop wearing the masks. We're not in a spirit of fear, you know, but I didn't want to have to lay hands on anybody. You know. I'm kidding. Glory be to God. All right, listen, let me get through this real fast, man. Time leaves us. Verse 7, even in a time of disaster, with thousands and thousands being killed, you'll remain unscathed and unharmed. Come on. Listen to this. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment. For they will be paid back for what they have done. That's talking about the wicked, not y'all. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, verse 9 and 10 in the Passion Translation, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. Here we go. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels. Thank God for angels. With special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. Man, you already thank them. I'm not saying worship an angel because they're just a created being. They are not like you and I. They minister, they protect. But you and I, we can sit or we can stand in the presence of God, and an angel cannot. We get to sit. Why? Because we're created in the image of God, in His likeness. You see. Man, what I'm trying to do this morning is help you understand who you are in Christ. That if we stay out of fear, you won't see a pandemic affect you and I. And if it tries to attach its ugly head to you, that old flu bug, man, you start speaking against us and get some horse warmer in you. Anyway, just saying. If you walk in a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling, talking about angels. You'll even walk unharmed among the fiercest powers of darkness. Listen to me. Trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is the word of the Lord. It's spoken to me. Because you loved me, delight in me, and have been loyal to my name, I will greatly protect you. I will answer, verse 15. In the King James 15 says, He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him with honor. The Passion Translation says, I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. And you will feel my presence in your time of trouble. I will deliver you and bring you honor. I will satisfy you with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Come on, y'all. We've got to start getting excited about what God has done in our lives. Who we are in Christ. Yeah, just because you missed it and you did something you shouldn't have called sin, then repent, turn away from it, and stop doing it. And you're back into the presence of God. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're never out of the presence of God. He never leaves you or never forsakes you. We just sometimes turn our back towards Him and we walk into, you know, a sinful place and we let the flesh control us. All you got to do is just turn right back around and He's there already. Amen. He's there. He's not condemning you. He's not putting you down. No, His mercy is new every morning. Amen. He's just a God that wants you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. He wants you to know that your mind is working on His behalf to create things that's going to help people. He wants you to know that you can speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things that you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you sayeth. He's wanting you to know that you can be the head and not the tail, above your mountains and not underneath them. I tell bull riders all the time, look, lay hands on that bull, since the Bible says in Genesis that you have dominion over the cattle. The bull's in the cattle. It's a cow, but it's a male cow. Well, it's a bull, but it's a... Well, anyway. And I tell them, lay hands on it, you've got dominion, and command that thing to buck, but it will not harm you. And then use the wisdom of God. And if you're getting in trouble, then check out and get to the fence. Because those... Those angels called bullfighters are going to try to protect you. But they're not angels. Okay? It's all... Y'all know how I feel about that. And let me start closing. Do not say when someone dies and goes to heaven that God must have needed an angel. Because you are demoting that person to the status that they are not. You are. God doesn't need you as an angel in heaven. You know what He needs? He needs you to know who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are made in the image of Him. So I said the same thing until someone finally said, but they're not an angel. You are created in the image of God. See? But you know how we heard it from someone and then we just repeat. I remember doing a service for a 6-month-old baby, probably the hardest service I've ever done. Heartbreaking how this little baby had died of SIDS or whatever, and you know, stopped breathing in the bed. And I had to tell people that God didn't kill that baby. No, God's not going to give a life and then take it away. I was driving here and I had to turn that song off. And I'm not bad mouthing that, but to me, I don't like the song and it's a great worship song probably for a lot of people, but it says how God giveth and God taketh away. That is not biblical. Now, Job did say that, but it was in a place of distress. God didn't say it, Job said it. God's not going to give you a baby and then 6 months rip it out from underneath you. You savvy. That's not how. That's not the God we serve. No, God's a life giver. He's wanting to bless you, but the devil, John 10:10 says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God gets the blame for a lot of things, y'all. So what we're going to do in our personal lives, if you will, is we're going to start speaking the word of God and not allow fear to come in our lives. If we'll do that, You will not see an outbreak in your life, in your family. If someone around you catches COVID, you go lay hands on them and rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. You get that fear out, because the ones that don't get in fear are the ones that are living. The ones that allow a little bit of fear. And I understand it's the nature of sin, but it's not the truth. It's kind of like when the doctor told me I had Crohn's disease. Took out 16 inches of intestine, a little bit of the colon. Been 20 years ago. And he told me that I would always have it. And I looked at him and I said, no, sir, I will not have it. He told me I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life. And I said, nope. I've never taken one pill. You know why? Because I believed in the truth more than the fact. It was a fact that I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. But the truth that I believe more than the fact will override that fact, and I was healed by the power of God in Jesus' name. Okay. If He did it for me, He's got to do it for you if you would just believe it. He's no respecter of persons, just like the devil. God will bless you just because you're not Billy Graham. He'll still bless you because you're His kid. You've just got to start getting your mind to start thinking higher, better. And I know His ways are higher than ours, but you've got to start learning who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you will, then that virus is going to die in Jesus' name. Let's believe that. That virus will not prevail in the lives of a believer and in our country and in our towns. And we're not having any more lockdowns. They're trying to lock down California again. Man, they're revolting. Teachers, you live in faith. And you teach your kids. You students, you live in faith. Not in fear. In Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for just building our faith up. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our individual lives. That you're a big, big God that wrote the book of Psalms. It was all inspired by you, sir. So that we can live under your protection. So we're going to abide under you. Now I realize, sir, that we can get out from under the protection, and that's when things happen. So Father, just help us. Help us learn about the Word of God. How to live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom meaning your ways of doing things. We want to live by your ways. Even though we live in a world, you said not to live of it. So, Father, help us. That's why we're coming to church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never met Jesus, maybe you're watching and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus. It's time you do it. It's the greatest time, matter of fact, because you don't want to wait. There's no sense in not having a Savior in your life. So the question this morning is, Jesus, your Lord. If you died and left this earth, and I'm not speaking death on you, but where would you go? There is a place called heaven, but there's also a place called hell. The only way to get to the Father in heaven, this is John chapter 14, the only way to get to the place called heaven with the Father is by receiving the Son named Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, if you'll confess the Son, the Lord, with your mouth, that means calling Him Lord, inviting Him to be the Lord of your life, inviting Him into your heart, you'll be saved. And when you die, God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on into heaven. That place called hell, though, was not made for you and I. It's made for Satan and his demons that thought he was God and got kicked out of heaven. But if you choose not to receive Jesus, you have that right, by the way. The Bible says God gave you a will. So you can override what God's saying and you can say no to him. Please don't do that. No. That's why I'm here. That's why I travel. So I want to try to get people born again. I want them saved. I want them going to heaven when they leave. I want Jesus to be the Lord of their life. But if you say no to that and you don't want to have anything to do with Jesus or this God stuff, when you die, God has to say, depart from me. And that place called hell is where those people will live forever and ever and ever. Kind of like heaven. You're going to live there forever. Praise God. Now, heaven may be here on earth. Hallelujah for that. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If He's not, I want you to pray a prayer with all of us. All of us are going to pray this prayer, even if we're saved. The reason we're doing that is we're going to learn the prayer so we can lead others to Jesus that won't come to church. Plus, if we're saved and praying this prayer, we're going to pray it with someone beside us or around us. So let's all pray it just like this. You ready? If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do it right now by praying this prayer out loud right after me, and all of us are going to pray it. Say out of your mouth, say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that very prayer, I want you to be bold enough, when I say three, one, two, three, if you just prayed that prayer and gave your life to Jesus for the first time this morning, I want you to be bold enough to raise your hand up and don't be afraid. Remember, we don't have a spirit of fear. I want you to get that hand up, and when your hand is up, you're saying, God, I meant that prayer and I just received Jesus and I'm coming to heaven when I die. If that was you and you prayed it, at the count of three, get that hand up. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Glory to anybody. All right, everybody, look at me. I didn't see one hand, which is usual. Last week we had three or four. But that's fine. That's fine. I think in these last days, we need to try to get salvation to everybody, no matter what, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you have a good time? All right. Real fast, before we go and baptize here in just a second, if y'all that are getting baptized need to go and get dressed, do it. Whatever, it doesn't matter if you need a towel or if you're just going to get dunked like you are. Praise God for it. Amen. We're going to dedicate, if we're going to dedicate a couple of babies. So if they'll go get them, I believe we're going to dedicate some babies. Before we do that, last week I told you, if you have been coming to this church, I mean, even before, since I've been gone, I missed about almost a couple of months. And so a lot of new faces, even when I get back, every year it happens like this. But if you believe that God has planted you at this church, because that's what I believe. I believe where you're planted is where you grow. A lot of times people come for the first time and say, hey, I've been looking for this place and this is where I'm supposed to join. If that's you and you want to join this church today, I want you to come forward right now and let me pray over you. Come on. Come on. Yep. Y'all clap for them. Amen. You believe that you're supposed to join. This is your place. I know maybe your children are out there, but that's all right. You can stand in for them. If you haven't joined this church and you believe that this is a time that you join, you believe that this is the place that you're planted in, then you come up here and we want to pray for you. Amen. It's an honor, and I mean it, that you would want to be a part. But here's how I do about joining anything. When I was young, raised up in the denominations, they would vote us in. Everybody want to receive these people? Signify by saying amen. And there, y'all been there before. And I got to thinking about if they can vote you in, they can vote you out. But not at this church. You're in. And you can't be voted out. So we make a covenant. That's all I do about joining a church, is we make a covenant. The covenant is a promise. The promise that we give to y'all is we're going to preach that word. I'm not saying we don't make some mistakes. I mean, Sometimes we have to repent and say, I didn't mean to say that, or whatever. But our promise is to preach that Word of God from the front to the back of it. Everything in it, we believe it. Amen. We are a Spirit-filled church. We want the power of God. And I think that's very important because I was not raised that way. We'll counsel you. We will help you in any way we possibly can. And that's our promise. The promise I want you to make with us is come to church. Come. If God opens the door to serve in this church, then serve. There's always opportunities to serve, trust me. And wherever God opens the door, man, get in there and be a blessing to God. Amen. I want y'all to stretch your hands towards these people as I pray for them. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for these precious people joining our church. God, we receive them by faith. And thank you, Lord, use them in a mighty way. Give them just a heart that they want to grow in this church. And Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for people that come that want to receive your word. So Father, use us. We receive y'all in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for this precious woman. God bless her in Jesus' name. And we just receive you by faith as a member of this church. Thank you, Lord, for this man. Father, bless him. Give him just the insight, the mind to want to learn about you at this church. And Father, we just give you praise that many people will be healed, set free, delivered, saved because of this young man. Father, thank you, Lord, for this couple. We just praise you for all that you're doing in their lives. And it's an honor that they bring their kids. Y'all got a lot of kids, don't you? I seen y'all, because I always stand at the door. Y'all can look up just for a second. I stand up at the door, and I love watching people drive in. And I saw them, and you had like a couple with you, and he had two or three, and that's a family. Y'all right? Yeah, blended family. Hey, praise God, it doesn't matter, but you're going to have a good basketball team. We receive these wonderful people by faith in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for her, for this precious woman. God, use her. It's an honor to have her as a member of this church now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, real fast, y'all, just stand right here. Babies. If we're dedicating a baby, I want you to bring them up for us real fast. Bring them little ones. Y'all can turn around and just face the crowd. If you've never had your child dedicated. Now, Catholics, what they do is they sprinkle them, baptize them. We don't do that. We believe that we want to dedicate them to the Lord, but there's going to be a day when they get old enough that they're going to have to choose and receive Jesus as Lord. Amen? And so it's an honor. Okay, we got two of them. So, where's Paul? Nice. What's up, dog? And then Hunter? Grace. Is that what y'all? Hunter Grace. Love it. All right. Well, Father, y'all stretch your hands towards these precious ones. Father, man, I just thank you for little Paul. God, I just lay hands on him as the pastor of this church. And as this body, we just thank you, Lord, that this baby is dedicated all of his life. He'll be healthy and happy, and he'll give his life to you the moment he understands who you are in Christ, or who he is in Christ and who you are by sending Jesus. So, Father, bless this little boy. And we dedicate him to you all his life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. He shook his head like that. Did y'all see him? Yeah. Oh, thank you, Hunter Grace. What a precious. Look at this little baby. Can y'all see it? So come on, wave at him. Come on. What's up, dog? Father, it is an honor to lay hands on this precious baby. We dedicate her to the Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that I speak life, the blessing. I thank you, Lord, for health, happiness, sleeping all night, always being happy. Look at that baby. Glory be to God. Sleeping at night, not just during the day only. Being a blessing to mom and dad and little brother. And we just give you praise to dedicate this baby to the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. All right. So, there are you guys. There are you. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all being here. I'll let y'all go to your seat. Y'all got to stay, though. Okay. We're fixing to baptize right now. And as we dismiss, we're going to all stand up and listen to me. I know you'll want to talk for just a second. But I want you to come down. We're going to start on this side. And I want you to come and just welcome these people. Now, here's the rules. We don't tell them 16 stories. Okay? Just thank them for being here as a part of our church, because we want to welcome people. They're our family, right? And just let them know. But then I want you quickly to come back there and witness the baptism. My whole family is going to get baptized. If you've never been baptized and you've given your life to Jesus, that's the first act of obedience, is giving your life, is getting the, it's kind of like communion, the remembering of the broken body and the blood that Jesus shed. That's what communion is, right? You're remembering what Jesus... The baptism is the death, burial of the old you, the you before Christ. And you get baptized, and then when you come up resurrected, you're a new person in Christ, see? That's why it's important to be baptized. My spiritual mother, my mom, spiritual mom, not my real mom, but Ann Smith, always says that she's just seen over the years the people that really didn't get baptized. Man, the ones that did, something just takes place. The ones that didn't seem to have a few more issues in life. Why? Well, why aren't you getting baptized in the first place? Why wouldn't you? Is it fear? Sometimes people don't want to get baptized, you know, in front of people. Well, then we'll come and do it in your bathtub. Obedience, though, is understanding the death. If Jesus got baptized, I want to. So pray about that, please, so that, you know, don't live a life without that obedience. Amen? And just let God... If you need to let someone... It doesn't have to be a preacher. If someone needs to do it, your husband, I wouldn't advise that, because they'll hold you under a little bit longer. It's an honor to have y'all, and I mean it. Honor to get to know you, meet you. Pleasure to be the pastor of this church, and I mean it. God, what a blessing. He could have called anybody else, and he called me. And then we had some great ministers. Amen. All right. Did y'all have a good time? Stand to your feet. Let's be dismissed. Mama, oh, I love you. So glad you're my wife and you still want to be around me. You do, don't you? Whew. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for these new people that are joining our church. What a family. And then the ones that are still praying about it, I understand, sir. Father, I just thank you, Lord, if this is not a church for them, that they would go find a good Bible-believing church. And Father, where they can plant, and where they plant, Father, they can grow. So Father, thank you for these that are joining our church, as well as the baptisms that's fixing to take place. What an honor to baptize, and that obedience. So Father, thank you for that. Thank you for all you're doing in this church, and we all declare, say this after me, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. In Jesus' name. Amen. Big round of applause. You're dismissed. Love you.